Chris Russell here with Bodies Women's Head Basketball Coach Jim Crowley. Coach, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. And good to sit down kind of in a little bit of an off-season lull. And I hate using the word lull because there's always something going on. But glad we can make some time for maybe a little bit of a season recap and a little bit of a look ahead for some of the Bodies fans to find out what's going on with the program. I thought it was a terrific season overall. The team played well. There was some struggles at times, and you seem to have the practices that after the next game, you and your assistants kind of take the players through the paces where they maybe weren't so crisp in the game before, culminating in a WNIT bid, which I think was an absolute great opportunity for some of the younger players to get some of that postseason experience. How would you kind of sum it up?
Yeah, I was really proud of our group. I mean, obviously, you know, a year ago right now, things were pretty uncertain. We only had a few players coming back. We were bringing in a lot of players. Credit to our staff that really went to work and really identified folks that we thought not only could help us on the floor, but fit us and fit the university really well. And then credit to the players. They hit the ground running with that and really allowed themselves to be teammates, allowed themselves to be coached. And, you know, I thought, again, we had some ups and downs, had a couple injuries late that really slowed some momentum just as we were building it. But I thought people responded to those pretty well. And, you know, we had the little 5-game losing streak and then really responded well to that. And then, you know, they got to see what we told them could happen, that if you play, you know, basketball hard, you play basketball as a team, there's a basketball community and they'll come out and support you and you'll have a chance to keep playing in March. And fortunately we did, and we did at home, and really, really appreciative of the great support that the university and the community showed and the excitement that it generated. I don't know if I needed it to be that close of a game, but I think that helped as well, especially with kind of everything that was going on. It gave everyone a really good feeling about basketball again. And, you know, so there was a lot of positive, certainly areas we could have done better. And we left a few games out there that I thought we had a really good chance to get. But as I said, a year from now, we were kind of uncertain. And I think we have a lot more stability now. We still have a lot of the right people and we got a chance for them to get better. And I think we've added pieces that we need. And obviously we're losing very important parts of what we did and what helped us be successful. But we also are returning a lot of those parts and they have a chance to keep improving.
I thought having Lacey and Aaliyah just for the time that you had them, was a kind of a good bump for some of the younger players. This is how you work out. This is how you take care of yourself on and off the court. I mean, I thought they were a tremendous influence, and you could see that in some of the younger players that you had, specifically Mallory Heiss. As she grew, and I know that she's one of the injuries that we kind of had late in the season, but as she grew as a ball player, you could see that maturation, and you could almost see Lacey and Aaliyah kind of wearing off on her.
Yeah, I mean, in all way. I mean, those two kids were, and Gabby as well, but Gabby had been here and so kind of knew what's going on. So with Aaliyah and Lacey, you know, they came right in and went to work and came right in and said, hey, we're your teammates. And, you know, we've also played a lot of Division I basketball. So these are things that we know. But they were such really fine examples. I love to tell the story that our last practice down the A-10 tournament, you know, practice had ended and a few people were out getting extra shots. And it was two of our freshmen getting extra shots with Aaliyah and Lacey rebounding for them.
Wow.
And that just speaks to the character they are. And they embraced it. They just didn't embrace their teammates and our program and allowing themselves to be coached. They embraced the whole thing. They embraced all that Bonaventure is and, you know, just really made a lasting impression in a short amount of time. And, you know, the other side of it that's interesting too is, they were both really, obviously, very talented players. We ran a lot of stuff through them. So we feel pretty good that we know some things that other players that are returning can do that maybe they didn't show as much because of the ability of Aaliyah and Lacey. Mm-hmm. And now we've got to break some habits because of that. But, you know, that's also a good thing. And they went against those kids, you know, like they had to guard Lacey every day in practice. They had to guard Aaliyah, and that gave them a chance to get better too.
Eva, Ivana, plus Mallory, Elise, the outside shooting had always been there, but you saw a maturation too of a total game for them as well. I don't want to use the word buying in, but listening to the coaching, taking the coaching, being in the right spots defensively. And again, that's something that you could see happen throughout the season. The game against, I just brought it up right here as a reminder, the game against Richmond at home, and a loss 80-60, was kind of like a measuring stick. Like, this is where you see what you could be, or at least this is what I thought, where you could be. And then, you know, a couple of games later, go on the road and take them all the way out to Rhode Island and get a huge win. So I just think you have to be pleased with the maturation of the team, like as a rising. If it was a bar graph, it would certainly be on the rise.
Yeah, and you used a couple folks. I mean, Elise, you know, you look at her start of year and end of the year. Mm-hmm. And just from the defensive stuff to the pace of her shot to, I mean, she has two monster shots in that Drexel game. Mm-hmm. Mallory was on that same trajectory until had her best game before she got injured. Vo was on that trajectory and then came back and was getting – back going in the season. And even Eva, who hadn't played much, but then got in the 8-10 game or in the WNIT game and was prepared.
Yes.
So I think a lot of people got better, but the buy-in is real. And, you know, the only way you can fully let out your talent is if you bought into what the team is doing. Mm-hmm. And I think our kids understand that for now, and hopefully we'll continue to, because that's their best chance to show what they can do to help us be successful.
Buying in on the court and buying in off the court, something I know that you and the staff are very proud of, is when any player gets recognized academically. And we had several academic awards for the players this season and at the end of the season.
Yeah, we're excited to see where they end up in the spring. Obviously, they got to finish business, but, you know, we had one of the highest GPAs for the fall that we've had. We had a number of players get recognized for district all academic awards. Mm-hmm. You know, and they continue to do great things there. They do a lot in the community. Coach Kelsey helps out a lot with getting them involved in the community, and it's something they want to do. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we force them to do. And you know, we want competitive kids, and competitive kids carry that over into making sure that they're competitive in the classroom too.
Just to wrap up the postseason, WNIT, again, a terrific win against Drexel here at home. We're hard fought, great crowd. So the fans and former alums, everybody knows that the program is on the way back to where you had it several years ago. Murfreesboro is not necessarily the easiest place to play for men or women. And watching that game on TV, it just seemed like they had the magic touch for every shot they would make would drop. And the basket was only maybe 2 inches wide for the Bonnies. It was just one of those games.
Yeah, right? we came out really flat, and that's on me. I need to have us better prepared. We gave ourselves a great chance in the second quarter, tied it up,
right,
and then gave up three straight threes. Then fought back again in the third quarter, which, again, is testament to our group. They do keep fighting. And I thought I had some pretty good momentum and gave up a, you know, They had a tough shot right at the end of the third quarter and kind of feel the air go out of us. Then we had an unfortunate play and it went back to double figures. And I think, you know, we just kind of run out of gas at that point. But really good experience for us to go play a team of that level in their place and with that kind of travel. And, you know, and to also know in that playoff situation, you don't get a second chance. So, you know, if you don't put the 40 minutes together, your season can be over. And I think that's a tough lesson, but a good one for our group to learn, both from the Loyola game in the A-10 and then from the Middle Tennessee game in the WNIT.
The returners that we have coming up, here we are sitting, talking at the end of April, and the 2026-27 season going to be here before we know it.
Yeah.
Talk about some of the returners coming back and what you might be expecting of them.
Yeah, well, really fortunate that everyone that finished the season is coming back.
Yeah.
You know, not only as a program did we really improve our wins, but we really improved that. And that was a conscious effort when we were recruiting last year, that we wanted to find folks who, you know, seemed to show some traits that would fit really well here and that would look to hang around. And it's a obviously got a group where, you know, Elise played a lot of minutes and we got to see what she could do. And Mac played a lot of minutes and we got to see what she could do over the last couple of years. And Vo was playing a lot of minutes till she got hurt and then was mm-hmm. playing more minutes when she came back. So you had those three kids that had a lot of minutes. And then you saw flashes of the other folks. Kylie Buckley helped us win the St. Joe's game, the Davidson game, had some great minutes. Liv DeFranco had a great game out of St. Louis, played really well in a game here as well. Bree Boyd had a couple double-figure games in conference play. I thought KK really played well as the year went on and had big threes in the Duquesne game at home, had big threes in the game down to Middle Tennessee, right, and showed what she could do. So all of those eight folks really have to keep going. Mm-hmm. And we've got to find consistency out of those. And where I mentioned Eva earlier and her ability when she got her chance. And, Diamond Fields was slowed by some injuries kind of throughout the year and then was able to get some minutes later in the year and is really having a good spring so far. So we feel comfortable that those 10 coming back have had a full year of practice, mm-hmm. a full year in our system, have for the most part gotten some experience in high level games. So nothing is going to be overwhelming or new to them. So we hope with that they can really settle into consistency and they're all ready for enhanced roles. They still got some time to improve on that. But we felt really good that we could continue our momentum and our buy-in, knowing that those 10 folks felt good enough about what was going on that they wanted to be back here.
I think that's a lot of there's a lot that fans would be able to look back on too. As I mentioned, the trajectory of the team as a whole going up. Olivia DeFranco from the beginning of the season, kind of timid, playing off the ball, a little timid defensively. She grew leaps and bounds as the season went on. You mentioned KK. Kylie was getting her outside shot, being able to make her own shot instead of having to, you know, even come off a ball screen. I mean, just, and you mentioned Kylie Buckley too, the work that she did down low later on in the season, I call her double B, Brianna Boyd too, as well. Just, you've got to be pleased. And I don't know if I would call it a luxury. I don't know if you would call it a luxury, but in this day and age of college basketball, to be able to put together a group like that and then to have them want to stay because they've bought in to the program is really something special.
Yeah. It allows us to coach. I mean, we can analyze them. They know us, we know them. Mm-hmm. So we can hit the ground running. Now we also, we're not satisfied. We're motivated, right? We got a chance to do some more things and we had to work really hard to get to where we were. So if we want to go past that, that means we've got to increase our workload. Mm-hmm. And our folks understand that. And we as coaches have to be consistent with those demands. But, one of the nicest things about talking to different people in the portal as we were looking to add a few people from that is how many of them talked about watching us play and how much it looked like our players enjoyed playing together.
Yes.
And hearing that from other people, fans or different things. And, as coach, you don't know if that comes through. So that was good. That was a good thing. And we want to build on that as things continue, that we got to keep putting the program and the team success first and while we get better individually.
As you mentioned, the portal, as we sit down, we got the release about Kay Donahue. Looking a little bit at Kay, a 5'10 guard, that's pretty good size in the Atlantic 10 overall. Tell us a little bit about going into the portal for Kay Donahue.
Yeah, and everybody's official now, so I'll talk about the whole new gang.
Sure.
If that's okay. Yes. So in the fall, we signed Ella Trinkus, who's a freshman from Utica Notre Dame High School, mm-hmm. and had an incredibly decorated high school career. And we're really high on Ella. She is an outstanding person, a great fit for all parts of our community and our program. How quickly she gets adjusted to the physicality and everything of the college game is yet to be determined. But she's 6'1", 6'2", can play all over the floor, good length, competitive, something we don't have, someone who looks like that. Mm-hmm. Then just recently we signed Lola Gretton out of Australia, a bigger guard who can shoot it. Mm-hmm. Again, great teammate, plays in a similar league that Joey Shaw played in. Mm-hmm. So has played against adults and played high level. And so with that, we feel good that she'll be able to come in and have an advanced level of maturity compared to some freshmen. You mentioned Kaydani UK is someone that we've been recruiting for a while. She was able to go in the portal early because she graduated from Lafayette.
Okay.
Really had a very good year as a junior in Lafayette, but had an ACL tear in the later parts of that year. Mm-hmm. So could have came back this past year, but just thought, you know, I want to be 100% for my last year. So we got to know her, really liked her competitive spirit. She can play a lot of guard spots. She can score in a lot of different ways. She brings a nice edge of competitiveness that will help us right away. She brings maturity. And again, she's able to put the ball in the basket in a lot of different ways, and I think will fit how we play. We've also been fortunate enough to add Jordan Williams, who's a transfer from Niagara, who's from Buffalo, was a high school teammate of Aaliyah Parker's, a couple years younger, but same high school, Cardinal O'Hara, coached by Nick O'Neill, who's just retired, done an amazing job up there. But Jordan gives us something we don't have in particular. She's got a nonstop motor as a forward, and she is a terrific defender and rebounder and just a great athlete. So really excited to what she can bring to us. And then another player from Cardinal O'Hara that we were getting out of the portal from St. John's is Kyla Harris, who was a Western New York Player of the Year, someone we recruited when we first got here. We targeted her, loved her family, really wanted to get her. She chose St. John's, and we were just so fortunate that as she's made a decision for the next part of her college career, she's going to come back home and play for us. Versatile player, smart player, talented player. So we really feel like we've added things that maybe weren't areas we had as much, but also added people who fit our group. We tell our kids all the time, like, our kids have got to get our kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we mean by that is the players we have in our program have got to help us and really be part of us getting more kids who fit what we're doing. And our group was terrific in doing that. And I think we've added and enhanced our roster.
I'm glad you said those two adjectives at the end, or adverbs or whatever, the added and enhanced, because these aren't necessarily hole fillers. These are players that are going to take on important roles on the floor and to be some guidance for what is still a fairly young team. So that's got to be a plus too, right?
Yeah, we thought Kay was really important. Mm-hmm. And she's embracing that role. Her and I have had conversations about that, just like we did with Lacey and Aaliyah. Like, right. Hey, we're not just bringing you here to play basketball and score points. We need you to lead. We need you to help with that stuff. And they were such great people that they embraced it. And Kay is similar and looking forward to that. And, you know, our kids just really clicked with those three in particular, and certainly with Ella as well and Lola. But when those three came to visit recently, they spent a lot of time, and both Jordan and Kyla have played with a number of our kids,
right,
and have that familiarity as well. But we just felt really good that was very important. Obviously the talent, you can't do anything without having good players. And these guys are, but, you know, again, if you fit and are around people that make you feel who you are, like allow you to be who you are, you got a much better chance to be successful.
Talk to us too about off-season work. I mean, the season officially ended after the loss to Middle Tennessee almost about a month ago.
Yep.
As we're sitting down. That doesn't mean the players just, you know, don't come back until September and start working out. What does off-season work mean for this team?
Yeah, it's vital time, and that's it's a really important time, and we've been fortunate that we have the 10 folks here. Obviously Mal's recovering from an injury, but mm-hmm. working really hard and doing well. But we go 5 days a week. We do a couple team practices. And then, you know, we do very specific drills on those other days. They lift 3 days a week. So we'll do that up through next week. We gave them 2 weeks off after season. Mm-hmm. Easter came around and
yes.
We gave them 2 weeks off. And then we've been working with them for a couple weeks. We'll finish out that next week, and then they'll be off on their own the rest of May and into early June. And we'll bring the whole team back, except probably Eva. Eva's going to play with the Croatian team again this summer.
Oh, okay.
But everyone else, we believe, will be here for 6 weeks over the summer, kind of middle of June to the end of July, where we'll do the same thing. We'll do 5 days a week of workouts. We'll do 3 days of lifts and conditioning, a lot of different things to, you know, team bonding and team drills. And then they go home. They're home for the month of August and come back. And then it's, you know, it's right around the corner.
What do you specifically, as the head coach of a Division I women's basketball program, do in the offseason? Because, again, I would think a lot of fans go, oh, well, Coach Crowley.
What else do you do?
What else do you do? I mean, there's nothing to do here. They're not here.
Yeah, well, we're always recruiting. So, sure. You know, right now our focus, since we have the 26-27 roster secured, our focus is the 27 high school class, mm-hmm. and who fits us there and who are our top targets there, and organizing that. Organizing our current roster and how we can best serve the folks to get better and what we can do best with what we have and organizing all that. There's A-10 meetings that we go to in May. There's getting ready for that summer session and planning that, as well as a lot of recruiting that happens in July. But I would say, I mean, there's a lot of those things. My number one priority is making sure that I'm communicating consistently to the staff, to the players, to the program. This is where we're heading. This is what we're doing. And these are the steps that we're going to keep taking to get there. And this is your part of that and how we feel that. So that sounds like an easy thing, but it's, you always got to be aware of it. And you got to make sure that of your 15 players and your 4 or 5 staff members that you're getting the most out of all of them as we push towards those goals.
Have you had an opportunity to speak with or at least hear anything from the new A-10 commissioner?
I have not. I've known him. I knew him a little bit when he was with Temple, and we were just he was coming in the Big East as I was leaving.
Okay.
So I didn't have as much time there. I'll see him in May, mm-hmm. and probably get some time with him. But I wouldn't say we have like a history, but we've crossed paths before. And you know, I think the A-10's in a pretty good spot. I mean, obviously, you know, the chaos is college sports right now. But I think that was a really good hire. He's a basketball person who was very, very well respected. And, you know, Bernie's done a great job of solidifying the league. And, you know, so it's, everybody's kind of just looking at what can we do next? I mean, we've had on the women's side, we've had back-to-back years with 2 teams in the tournament, mm-hmm. and how do we keep that going?
Yeah. I was just to wrap this up, Commissioner McGlade, I thought really navigated a lot of where I come from, the media side, because it's so dispersed. You know, it wasn't too long ago where we might have been on 1 or 2 networks, right. And now we're all over the place. And sometimes fans have a struggle to find games or to keep up with who's got what, who's streaming, who's on cable, who's on TV.
Yeah.
Do you foresee, and I'll just ask you this as the coach here at St. Bonaventure, do you foresee any changes in the Atlantic 10 as far as schools in, schools out, media rights, anything like that? I mean, what is it to you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Chris, that's not a something that's top of brain for
sure,
me.
Sure.
My main focus is here, and how do we make Bonaventure the best opportunity we can, and how can we help the university and the community?
Mm-hmm.
I usually media deals are locked in for multiple years.
Right.
And I think we just got into a new one a year or two ago. So I think that one will probably last at least a couple more years. I don't know where other schools would go.
Well, I just met when you said the word chaos, it reminded me of, well, this is the time of year when other conferences poach other conferences to try to get schools in. Yeah. And there's talk about Dayton maybe going to the Big East or even St. Louis maybe going to the Big East, which doesn't make geographical sense, but whatever.
Right.
You know, I just wondering.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, Big East going to have a new commissioner too.
So
maybe that changes. I know in my time there, those weren't strong considerations. Things change. I can only speak to when I was there a few years ago. I'm not sure how many of the basketball-centric leagues want to add teams, because that shrinks your piece of the pie. And with the fewer and fewer teams that we're getting in to the NCAA tournament, you know, unless you know you got in a team that can add to your slices.
Right.
And again, that's just me talking.
Right.
What do I know? That just is kind of where things would make sense for me. But I will say, and when things have happened and schools have moved on from the A-10, I think they've knocked it out of the park with how quickly they've moved in and put other schools in.
All right. Very good. Well, I just wanted to get your take on that.
I think it's a little quiet right now, and it's all predicated on movements made by leagues, football leagues higher.
Yeah.
You know, without football schools or without people jumping up into football conferences, I mean, if someone moves their football up,
yeah,
and then maybe they go. But other than that, I think.
But I hope maybe UMass is a cautionary tale for schools. Yeah. Maybe you're looking to prioritize football from the other athletic programs that do well too.
Yeah, you could look back. Our league, UMass is the latest example, and Temple before that, Charlotte before that. I mean, those were outstanding basketball schools.
Yeah.
And you know, basketball can pay the bills, but football can buy you a penthouse. So I think people get sucked into that a little bit.
Very good. All right. Bonnie's women's head coach, Jim Crowley. We're going to catch up later on in the summer and see how those offseason workouts are doing, how the new signees are integrating into the team, and catch up with you. But for now, coach, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.